all of you this morning. I'm just so thankful that you're here and been real excited about getting back. It's been a while since we've had the opportunity to preach, I believe. We've had our programs, Christmas programs and different things and candlelight service and what have you. But I've really been looking forward to getting back and preaching, and I ask that you pray for me. Just excited to help me to that the Lord helped me to say all the things that he'd have me to say. This has been something I've been studying on for a few days now, probably a week or so, a little bit over. Sometimes you get busy and have busy life and what have you, and used to sometimes study on Saturdays and try to get that confirmation, and then sometimes it works out where you get to study a longer period of time, and that's kind of how this has been for me here. And so I'm thankful for that, and I pray that'll be a help to all of us. And did want to say thank you to the church for the cards, the gifts, everything for Christmas. We appreciate that. We appreciate the blessing that you are. And so much to be in prayer for. I know that. Just many different things going on. A lot of sickness. And there's actually probably more people here today maybe than I thought might be here. But if you're visiting, you're make yourself at home. We're glad that you're here to be with us. And welcome you to come back anytime. If you'd like to, let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24, and be looking at verses 1 through 16, kind of try to break it down a little bit in little baby bites, not to maybe be too much at once. But this is something that the Lord has definitely laid on my heart, been started reading a book that kind of speaks to this a little bit, and then just studying on the thought of resilience. Resilience. And that's the act of leaping or springing back, the act of rebounding. And this morning, if I was going to give it a title, I would say bouncing back, bouncing back. Think about the end of the year. Did everybody accomplish all the goals that they set out to do a year ago today? Nobody's raising their hand. Nobody accomplished all the goals that you wanted to accomplish last year. How many of you started out pretty good? I'll raise my hand. I started out pretty good. I mean, I'll be honest. I was on fire. Brandy said, she said, when you're all in, you're all in. Yeah, but how long does that go, you know? I think one of the hard things about that is I know at the beginning of the year, it's easy to kind of get in our mindset that that's a good time to start something. That's a good time to be committed because it's a fresh time. You have a time that you're going to that you can start, and it's a whole new year, and you want to start that year out right. Thankfully, the Lord's mercies are new every day. We actually get this opportunity every single day that God gives to us, if you think about it. This is a problem that I have run into thinking about myself, and you might be the same way too. I don't know. So I can start out on a path really well, set some goals for myself, and really want to be able to do things right and what have you, and maybe have a day, a week, a minute. Sometimes it don't last long, it doesn't seem like. But it seems like you start out good, but then maybe you start failing, or maybe you miss that day, or you miss that time of faithfulness or what have you, and then you feel like it's all over. It's all over. I tried. I went one day in a row. I went 10 days in a row, but I messed up, and so now it's all messed up, so there's no point of even just trying to keep it going anymore. There's always next year, right? We'll start this up again next year. But you see, here's the thing about it. When you look at how the Lord would have us to live our lives, it's not to keep us down. He wants to lift us up. And he doesn't want us to wait months, weeks, days, years. He doesn't want us to wait. He wants you to start right now. Thought about this morning this way. Those of you, us that are parents, how many of us want to see our children struggle? Whether it be one day, 10 days, how many of us want to see our kids struggle at all? You want to help them get back up. You want to help them bounce back up as soon as you can, don't you? I do. You see something failing or what have you, want to see that bounce back up as quick as they can. And you know, the Bible teaches us a lot about resilience, a lot about bouncing back, getting back on track the way we're supposed to be. Now, here's the thing about it. If you've not been saved long, or maybe if you have, let's say if you've been saved a while, you know you're going to fail and you're going to mess up, aren't you? Just because we're saved doesn't mean we're perfect, right? You know you're going to mess up. I know we're going to mess up, but we don't want to.
You don't want that. You want to have that success, because as days go on and you feel like you're logging those successes, it's easy to get kind of excited about that. But then there's the downfall that comes after that when you feel like you failed. It's like, well, I tried. But you see, the way the Lord and the way His Word teaches us, He wants us to bounce back. He's not about holding us down. I know that I look back over this year and I think about things, and this isn't really about a New Year's message. It kind of timed out that way, I guess. But you think about this time last year, there's a lot of things that's changed in our lives. Things we can't control. Things that we face, things that maybe goals that we set out to achieve, and maybe we achieve some of those. And then maybe some of those we didn't. Maybe there's been some hardships in our life that we faced and it's hard to overcome. I tell you, there's some hardships that you just don't get over instantly. You know, I'll say this. You know, people say it takes time. It takes time. Well, you know, when you think about the loss of a loved one, I don't think there's any time that you get over that. Think about that. Thought a lot about that. I think about those that have passed this year, and I just respectfully honor their memory this morning. And think about it. There's some things that we're not really meant to get over and forget. Memories that we have and things that we have that we can hold on to. But I tell you, there are some things in life we're supposed to get over. That's why I'm thankful for forgiveness. I thank God so much for forgiveness. You imagine what our lives would be like if He didn't forgive us. Or if we couldn't forgive others and others couldn't forgive us. Imagine how hard that would be. I think that's part of bouncing back. But I'll go ahead and get started this morning. Proverbs 24:16. Look at this verse here. It says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this day that You've given to us. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for our church. God, I thank You so much for those who've been able to be with us here today. And God, I know that You know each heart. God, I know that You know what's on each heart. They're good thoughts and good things, the bad things, God, the hard things, Lord, just what makes us excited or what upsets us, God, those kind of things. But God, I just pray that You help us to focus all of our attention on You this morning and Your Word. God, that You'd help us to see what You'd have us to from this, to glean from it, to grow from it, God, and that we could take it and help us to be who You'd have us to be, to bounce back, God. I know that there's been many things that people have faced, and God, I just pray that You help us to bounce back from those things, just, God, for Your glory and Your honor, to be who You'd have us to be. Lead us and guide us, God, and anyone here today that's lost, God, I pray that You help them to see that need, their need of salvation, Lord. Help them. Help us all here this morning. Guide me, God. Guide my mind and my thoughts and my mouth, Lord. Help me, God, to say those things You'd have me to, Lord, for Your glory and for Your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, when you look and you start out just looking at verse 16, now we're going to go to verse 1 here in a minute, but it talks about the just man. The just man. You know, when I look at that, I'm very careful to call myself a just person, a right person, because I know I'm not always right. Anybody that would be honest with themselves would know that they don't always get it right. And I'll say this too. You say, well, you know, that's talking about the saved man, the saved person. I wouldn't argue with that. I wouldn't argue with that at all. But here's the thing. The saved man and the saved person doesn't always get it right. We're not perfect. We mess up on things. We miss things. But you see here the way that it's talking about it, the just man will rise up again. The Lord will help him to stand again. Now, it's a little bit different story talking about the evil or the wicked man and what they have to do. They will fall into mischief. One thing that I have seen, the Bible talks about so many times, is what you deliver is what will be returned to you. Now really, really focus on that. What you try to deliver, what you spend your time doing, is what's going to be returned back to you. That should really make us pause and think, are we really just or not? Talking again, saved person, lost person alike, but most specifically, in talking about this here, I believe it would really make sense to the saved person that it says again, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." You know, if you are a righteous person, you are seeking the help of God, you think He's going to let you fall and keep you down. I don't think so. I think he's going to try to lift you up. But now here's the thing. Are we actually on the right track with God or not? Our actions will say that. How we spend our time will say that. And I want us to understand that before we even get started. But now we look at verse number 1, right here, verse number 1 and 2. Look what it says. It says, "Be not thou envious against the evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." One of the things that it kind of looks like sometimes, if you're trying to follow the rules, it seems like you can't get ahead. What does it say? The good guys never win, what have you. It might seem like that by the world standard and what have you, but the Bible here is teaching us not to look at what they're doing and try to emulate what they are doing. It's like, hey, if this is working for them, let's just do what they're doing. If you can't beat them, join them, that kind of thing. But the Bible teaches us against that, not to be envious of what is perceived to be their winning or their gaining, because they're really not. The Bible teaches us this. You'll see this by the time we end up. It talks about mischief here. "For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." See, they're not studying on what is actually right. Now, how would God want me to live? How would God want me to be? Now, if I want to get things right, if I want to bounce back, how would you spend your time thinking? Revenge. I want to get revenge on this person, or I want to get revenge on this world, or what have you. See, that's not how the Christian is supposed to think. What does the Bible say? Revenge, avenging, is of the Lord. That's up to him, not us. You know, not one of us are here to avenge things. We're not. That's the Lord's. You know, the one thing he's called us to do is to live for him. To live for him. Walk in his ways, to live for him. If you want to bounce back, it's about living for him, not spending time studying destruction and talking about mischief. You look at mischief, that's harm, that's hurt, that's injury. That's just trying to get back. If somebody has hurt you and you are spending your time trying to figure out ways to get them back, you will never bounce back. You know that? You'll stay stuck in that, Brother Allen. You'll stay stuck there forever. The Bible does not teach the Christian to do that. You say, well, that's simple. It is. But how often we get hurt, somebody hurt us, that stays on our mind, that stays on our heart, and if you're not careful, you get in the flesh way of thinking, say, they hurt me, I want to hurt them back. I want them to hurt like I'm hurting. And that person might not be hurting at all. But it eats up the person that's dwelling on it and thinking on it. The Bible is telling us something here, that we're not supposed to think on these things and not try to make knee-jerk decisions. That's another thing. If you look up that definition of mischief, is talks about making quick decisions, not making wise decisions, making decisions in the moment like this. There are times in life that we do have to make fast decisions, and I'll admit that, but there's a lot of times in life you and I are supposed to be patient and wait and see what the Lord is going to do. He works out things that you and I can't work out. He knows all sides. Now, when you look at verses 3 through 6, then what should the Christian be focusing on if you want to bounce back, if you want to be resilient, if you want to have that and not be caught up in, well, I've messed up and it's just all a loss? See, the Lord gives us things to focus on. You see those few of those things here in these three verses. It says, through wisdom is an house builded by an understanding, it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with the precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now, there's some really good, I said three verses, I guess that's four, but there's some very good instruction here. You think about building a house. You think about how things are laid out. Some of us was granted, given by our parents, by guardians, by people that came on before us. Some of us were given an amazing foundation. Got a good foundation, a good solid foundation to set on. But you know, it's up to you and me as we move forward that we build our house. Now, I tell you, right now, you know, it's supposed to be winter, but it's been kind of warm. But how would it be if all you had was the foundation of your home and you're just sitting out there in the elements? See, a lot of people are doing that. They were granted, they were given, they were blessed with a foundation, had people that brought them up, were willing to bring them to church and grant them a foundation. But now as you build your home, it's up to you with what you choose to do with it. What you make from there, the walls of it, the rooms of it, the chambers is what the Bible says here, places that you store things. But what are you storing in your home? Is it good things? Is it the wicked man here talks about mischief and what is being the way they would do it. But look at the things that it says here, verse number 3. Through wisdom is a house builded. That is knowledge. Wisdom is actually the right use of knowledge. Probably said this before, but I'll say this again. In this information age, we've got so much information. You can read things at the tip of your fingertips. You've got all this that you have in our phones and what have you. So as far as getting information doesn't mean it's the right information. Right information is in our Bible. I talked to the Sunday school class this morning. If you Google something now, what you'll see at the top is an AI response of all this generated information that's been plugged into the internet, and then you get that one consensus. And you know what? That may or may not be right. If you want to get the right knowledge, the right wisdom, you get it from the Word of God. I tell you, if you're building a house, the Bible needs to be the first thing that you put in your house. Need that. I tell you, you know, we can surmise and come together as a group and say, you know what, this is a logical thing to do. And if you want to live logically, you're not living spiritually. There's a difference. And there's going to be things that you face in your life, every single one of us, that we need spiritual discernment and wisdom. The logic is just not going to work. It's just how it is. When you have the Lord living in your heart, He expects us to lean on Him and learn from Him. Through wisdom is the house builded, and by understanding it is established. Understanding is a powerful thing. As I get older, I understand more how important it is to extend understanding to somebody else. Now I think like this, understanding comprehension. Somebody tells you how to do, I'm not good at math, I'll use that. Somebody explains to you how to do math. Very hard projects and all those kind of things or problems, and you comprehend how to do it. That's understanding. But also I think understanding will be defined as something that you can give to somebody else. Brother Teddy, we don't know what's going on in other people's houses. I could be critical of somebody not knowing what they're carrying. Say, why don't they just do this? Well, I don't know the load that they're carrying. I don't know the burdens that they're under. You see, it takes understanding. Somebody willing to say, you know what, yeah, I don't understand this, something don't look right, but I'm going to afford some understanding. You know why? A preacher told me not long ago, a man can make a mistake, and he can. People make mistakes. I mean, being able to have understanding, be able to afford that you have forbearance and saying, hey, let's see how the Lord's going to work this thing out. Thank God, look at it this way, until He calls us home, what we have here isn't over yet. But then after this, you think about this, we have heaven to look forward to after this if you've accepted Him. There's a lot to look at when you're thinking about the Word of God and talking about understanding. Our houses, our homes are built on understanding, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all the precious and pleasant riches. You want to have a happier home, you want to build and establish a home, you better start studying the Word of God. That better be a staple of what you do. You better spend time doing that. I can't emphasize to you enough how important that it is. That's the true understanding that you have. You can get a consensus from the internet, but you'll miss out on a lot. You get it straight from the Word of God, you'll get things right. Now, you'll still fail and mess up, we all do, but you'll get more right than wrong. The Bible doesn't teach us to follow after other men. He says to put our confidence in God, in the Lord. And that's what we get from the Word of God. The preacher, I just don't like reading. I don't like studying. Now's a good time to start. I tell you, if you want to get it right, if your home is that important to you, you better take the counsel of the Word of God. If you talk about your salvation, if that is that important to you, you get that straight from the Word of God. That's not from the consensus of men. That's from the gospel. That's from the Word of God that we get that instruction, that we get it. Look at verse number 5 as it goes on. A wise man is strong, yea, man of knowledge increases strength. You see those people round about us sometimes. I think about church family when I think about this verse. You see people round about us that they're going through horrible, hard things. Horrible things. Maybe it's with health issues or family circumstances, things, and just really hard things. And you see the human aspect of them, but you also see that there's a spiritual side, like there's some kind of strength about it. Like where does that come from? What is that? That's the power that they have in the Word of God, their faith. There's so much that we cannot control. We're not going to get it right all the time, but even aside from that, we think about the things that we can't control. What do? We have to rely on somebody. We have to rely on the Lord. That's faith. Being able to extend that, say, I really don't understand the good that can come out of this, but God, I'm trusting you with it because I can't control it. But I know you can. He will control things that we will give to him. He's wanting people to be able to give over to him. And if you want to increase in strength, it's learning to give things to him. A man of knowledge increaseth in strength. As I look at it like this, it was one thing. I remember when I go back in time, I lived in my house by myself before I got married. It was just me. And then I got a cat, maybe two, something like that. And then I tell you, that's how it was. And then I got married. Brandy came along. But about the time Josh came along, I was like, man, this is a different world. I remember to this day feeling the responsibility of now having a child. And guess what? You're going to have to raise him. You're going to have to teach him things. You have to show him things. If you ain't living right, you're not acting right, he's going to pick up on that. He's going to know that. You kind of have to be true to things. You're going to have to be real. And you see here, that's how you increase in strength when you realize the importance of it and you place a priority on it. Our time in study, our time in taking care of ourselves physically, it's important. It's important to do those things. I believe the Lord and the Bible shows us this so many times. Now, look at verse number 6. I really appreciate what this says here. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and the multitude of counselors there is safety. Aren't you thankful for Christian friends? Seriously, Brother Curtis, amen. Counselors. You don't really see it a whole lot mentioned in this maybe this way in the Bible, but I can't tell you how thankful I am for our church. When I look around our congregation, we have many counselors in the church. We do. You look at the older ones in the church, they've been around a time or two. They've seen some things. They've experienced some things. You say, well, why do we do things like this? Because by experience, that's what they've shown, has been shown to them that works. Not just experience, but the Word of God also. I am so thankful that I'm not alone. Being alone or feeling alone is one of the most dangerous places to be. The devil will love to make you feel like you're isolated, you're by yourself, you have nothing, you have no one, nobody cares. That's where he wants you to stay because then he can work on your mind. I want to say this. I can't emphasize to you the importance of having a church family. I can't overemphasize that to you. The importance of it. Having people to go to when things are going on, and not just worldly counsel, but biblical, wise counsel. Somebody that's not going to lead you wrong. I have people in this church I can do that. And I do on a regular basis. Thank the Lord I still have my parents. I lean on them also. But it's amazing when situations come up that you can go to them. And I want to say this. I want to say how much I appreciate our deacons. This is a very structured church in comparison maybe to others that I've been to. Others and things like that sometimes. So that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Structure is a good thing. Godly structure is a good thing. Because that means you have people willing to stand up against things that aren't right. And I tell you, that takes a little bit of heart. That takes a little bit of courage. And it's important. People that's willing to stand up for things. Look at this again. For by the wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The church isn't the wild, wild west. It's an established, the New Testament church is an established thing. It's built upon the foundation of the Word of God. And you know what it takes? It takes people being willing to follow what it says. Follow that structure. Go through with what it says. See, here's the thing. I've said this before, and I want us to understand this. Did you know God doesn't honor you? Well, that's a bold statement. I want you to know that God doesn't honor me. You know what he honors? He honors his word. Read it and study it. God honors his word. Now, here's the thing. If we abide by his word, guess what? It helps us. It is an honor to us because we're abiding by him. The Lord isn't somebody that you pull out when you get in trouble just to make things better. Then you go back to doing things the way you used to. It's not how that works. God honors his word. We take his word seriously. We take that counsel seriously. It helps us. That's a side effect for being a child of God. It helps us. He'll never lead us wrong. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now you look at verse number 7 through 9. It says, he that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. That's pretty simple and straight. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to them. You look at those two verses together, you see three verses together. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner and the abomination to men. You see, that's the other side of things. There's the right and the wrong. We talked about this in Sunday school. Me and Brandy were talking about this last week. How many believe that there is a right and a wrong? There is, isn't there? There's right and there's wrong. And now I know sometimes the way the world's set up, they want all this gray area, but I believe that there is a right and a wrong. There's a right way to go about doing things and a wrong way to go about doing things. Now, I ask you this. Do you think for a second God is not going to expose to you what is right and what is wrong? And that's what he specializes in, isn't it? His righteousness. Now, do you think he's going to hide that from us? Or do you think he's going to give that to us? Two things that it takes there. Three things. Number one, you need to be saved. Number two, the word of God. And when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You have those things and you seek the Lord. Guess what? He'll show you what's right. He'll lead you the right way. You say, is it that simple? You might have to do some digging. But he'll lead you the right way. He's not going to leave us out there. You say, well, what does that mean? Talk about the mischievous person. Mischievous person is more so interested in avenging self regardless of what God thinks. I want what I want. I want my revenge. I want my way. I want what I want regardless of what you or what God thinks. That's a mischievous person. And you know what? That person falls. Based on what the Word of God says, that person falls. And that's, you know, you don't say that bragging either. You don't say that without a heart. You read on down, look around verse number 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. You see here, it's a sad thing to see somebody fall. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to see it at all. We go back here, we look here, verse number 10. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. The importance of being strong. That's a small verse, a pull out by itself. Something that you need to consider and think about. And you talk about the strength that you have, what you have and what have you, your faith in God. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, I know we want to be strong. Look at verses 11 through 16. I'll be closing with this here pretty soon. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? You see, the Lord, you say, well, how is this kept up with? Is this something that people keep up with? Or is this something that God keeps up with? God is the one who keeps up with it. You and I don't determine who's righteous and who isn't. God does. You say, I want to fall on the right side of what you're saying, preacher. I want to be resilient. I want to bounce back. Well, this is the hidden part of it that God knows. God knows what side you're on. If you're seeking out truth and wanting to do what's right, God knows that. If you're more concerned about revenge, God knows that. And that's going to decide on which side that you fall on. And that's what he's saying right here. The Lord is going to render to every man according to his works. Do we not know that? My son, eat thou honey because it is good in the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. It's talking about just doing what's right, regardless of what everybody else is doing. I tell you, you know, and I know I've probably said this before, I think sometimes one of my biggest fears is being misunderstood. I know with Brandy, sometimes she said, well, you called this person the wrong name, or you said this verse, you said that, and I'm always afraid of getting ahead of myself and saying the wrong things and all that. But you know, one thing I have learned throughout life, it's easy to jump up and say something. But once it's outside the tube, you can't put it back in. You probably heard that, the toothpaste. You squeeze that out, it's out. It's out. You know, I'm not saying that forgiveness isn't an option. It is. You know, thank God it is. But once it's out there, it's out there. And sometimes it's hard to do something with. One thing I have learned in my life, as hard as it may be, is if I'm following the Lord the way the Word of God is showing me to follow it, the best thing I can do is be quiet and let the Lord do His work. That's some of the best advice I can give to you. I tell you, people throw fiery darts at you. That's what the Bible calls it. They'll throw darts at you. They'll try to burn you up. And if you're wrong, then you're wrong. You make it right. But if you haven't done anything wrong, what do? You keep your mouth shut and rely on God. I think that's a big part of spiritual discernment. You see these things coming there, coming on down again. Lay not wait on the wicked man against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Tell you, if you're doing what the Lord would have you to do, simply just keep doing what He wants you to do, what He's called you to do. I want to close with Psalm 37. I want us to look at verse 23 and 24. Psalms 37 in total is an excellent, excellent chapter to read. You'll find a lot of good instruction there, as in all the Bible, of course. It's all good, but I tell you, Psalm 37 is one of my favorite. But you look at verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I want to encourage us this morning here. If you're trying to get on the right track, and I tell you, you know, it's amazing. I think really most of the messages I've preached, I think it's for me. Me and Dad's talked about this. I guess if it don't hit the preacher first, it's going to be hard to hit somebody else. But when I look at life and wanting to get things right and do things right, I tell you, there has to come a time that you default from what you want and you're willing to follow what God wants, regardless what the implications are. I mean, if you're going to follow after Him, you have to forsake yourself and pick up His cross and follow your cross and follow Him, right? I mean, it's His. It's His choice. If you are expecting to live your life, if our lives don't change after accepting Christ, I'll tell you this, something's wrong. Something's not right. It will change. It changes for the better, but it's going to be changed in ways that you can't foresee, because that's why faith has to be a part of it. If we could see and understand everything, then you would have no use to use faith. But we have to use faith. Without it, it's impossible to please Him. But I want us to know this. I want to encourage us with this. I'm thankful that you're here this morning. I want this to help you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you are willing to follow Him, He's going to lead you through some things. That's not mean it's going to be always easy. But He's going to lead you through some things. He's going to help you through some things. Something I've learned also is through the hardships of life and hard things that I've dealt with and found, you know, the Lord has helped me to grow through that. He's shown me some things. Do this, don't do that. Remember how this happened last time or happened before? Don't make the same mistake twice. You can pick up on that in the Bible. You can pick up on that in your life. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I believe the Lord delights in our way, and I believe we also can delight in the way that the Lord is leading us. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, we are going to fail. We are going to make mistakes. The Lord's going to pick you up if you're willing to follow. Hope you can see that and really understand that. I hope this is a help to somebody this morning. I tell you, I know sometimes we look at the beginning of the year as a good time to start. It's always a good time to restart. Always a good time. His mercies are new every single day. He doesn't want there to be a period of time that you don't have fellowship with him. There's not any time that I don't want to be in fellowship with my son. God is the absolute same way. He's not saying, don't wait till this date to get started and then say, I'm going to be committed on that. Recommit now. I believe with all my heart that's what the Lord teaches us. His mercies are new every single morning. If you will, stand with me. I'll ask the ladies if they will to come.